This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Good morning, Canada. Golf Talk Canada GTC PGA Championship Edition as we head into moving day in the year's final major. And look at this leaderboard. All of a sudden, I was not feeling good about this leaderboard after day one. Quail Hollow just playing brutally difficult, big names going in the wrong direction. But some of the stories now as we head in this weekend, I am excited to finish off the year's final major. Sacchino in studio in the tee dot, and Mr. Bob Weeks live on Local Quail Hollow Golf Club, Charlotte, North Carolina. Bob, how's it going down there? Are you dry this morning?
No, I'm not. It's been a soggy night overnight. We got through everything last night, and just as we were getting back to the hotel, the heavens opened, and they've remained open for most of the evening, so it's pretty soggy. It's kind of gray and I would say not really raining, sort of off and on raining here, but it's a soggy morning here for sure. And that Quail Hollow golf course is a much different beast this morning than what we've seen the first 2 days.
Before we get into it today, before I get your opening thoughts on this tournament, what's the forecast look over the next 48 hours? Are we going to see more wet stuff? Are we going to have more delays? Is there electricity in the forecast?
Yeah, all of the above. It's looking like rain. Some risks of thunderstorms. There's an 80% chance of precipitation. Not a lot of it. It's more like that kind of steady drizzly stuff. But of course, with that lightning stuff in the air, that really is what's going to cause the problems. There's a risk this morning. There's a risk this afternoon. There's a risk tonight. And then same thing tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon. So we'll see if we can get through it. It doesn't look like there's a ton of rain that's actually going to fall. That's not a huge issue in terms of pooling and stopping for that reason, but lightning may cause some problems.
Just your opening thoughts on this so far, because, you know, off the top, after the first round, I was like, whoa, this could be a car crash. That course had huge teeth in the first round. The leaderboard did not look like a leaderboard you would expect at a major championship. Boy, that has changed quickly. Do you feel the same way? And has there been enough water, and will there be enough water that falls? I know it's not going to pool and become a problem, but will it take enough teeth out of these greens where some of these guys are putting as good as Hideki and Jason Day, who seem to be making everything?
Yeah, I agree with you. The first day I sort of looked at the leaderboard and you went, okay, well, you know, this happens sometimes at majors. You get some guys who rise up for a round, and there's the odd club pro who makes a little move. And we had Omar Uresti, who lived for a while in Mississauga, actually was the only club pro who made the cut. But you start to see the cream rising up. And I think now, you know, they've got sub-air on the greens here, so they can dry them out as much as they can. But with this amount of rain that's fallen, they're still going to be soft. They were already, even last night, starting to make some ball marks when the guys went back out after that rain delay. So it's going to be a very different golf course. It's going to be dial in your accuracy here and a tick attack on the greens. And Matsuyama is the guy who's been doing that fantastically through the first couple rounds. Yesterday, his 7 birdies, the longest putt he had was 11 feet. So he's pretty dialed in with his distance control. And I expect if he's doing that on the firm greens, just imagine what he's going to do on some softer ones.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, especially when you consider, you know, these guys are playing 500-yard par fours. These are not flip wedges into hole locations. That's very impressive. We've got a busy show today. Winners, Weird, and What, of course. An interesting addition, Bob, of Winners, Weird, and What. I'm just going to tease this. This is the first time that we've had a winner of this type of stature in Winners, Weird, and What. You're going to be very impressed today with my winner. This guy is quite the player. Also, we're going to have Mike Kelly from Golf Ontario. He's going to be on later on in the show. We're trying to support the Toronto Golf Gala, which is for youth golf initiatives, putting golf in schools, clubs in kids' hands, etc. So Mike will be on later on in the show. We're going to hear Bob one-on-one with Graham Dillette. We're going to hear from the leaders, PGA Championship edition of Golf Talk Canada, but let's get to some news and headlines.
News and headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
Well, the leaderboard looks like this. Kevin Kisner, 8 under par. He's tied with Hideki Matsuyama at 8 under. That sizzling 64 from Hideki yesterday. Jason Day, solo in third, rising from the ashes in the year's final major at 6 under par, 2 off the pace. Francesco Molinari, who is a top 10 machine. The Azzurri at 5 under, along with Louis Oosthuizen and Chris Stroud. And Ricky Fowler still lurking as a part of this one at 3 under, along with Justin Thomas. This is a good leaderboard right now, Bob. Kevin Kisner, best ball striking number so far through two rounds. But Hideki yesterday, like you mentioned, proximity of the hole was incredible. But the difference for me, man, their strokes game putting through two rounds of Hideki and Jason Day. Maybe a club that... certainly for Jason Day, the driver and the putter has left him most of the year. It seems to have returned through two rounds for Jason, driving it straight and huge and making some putts finally.
It's the one thing he said at the start of the week. He said, you know, the one thing that's really disappeared from his game over the last, say, 12 months since the PGA last year has been the ability to sink those 12 to 18 to 20 footers. He was like God, you know, with those putts, Jason Day, for so long. And then it just sort of seemed to evaporate. He just didn't really seem to be able to put that together. But Jason Day now, to me, is putting like he used to, at least so far through two rounds. And he seems to have kind of a calmness about him again. He doesn't seem to be kind of fidgeting and sort of looking for something. He seems to be kind of dialed in, relaxed, and hitting the shots like we've seen him do it. And as I said before with Matsuyama, same sort of thing. His putter is so much improved over the last, 8 months or so, but... of course, if you are hitting it so close, as we mentioned before, it makes the putting easy.
Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson at 2 over, Jordan Spieth at 3 over. I got to be honest with you, DJ and Rory do not surprise me. Rory still struggling with distance control. After round one, he led the field in driving distance, but was 118th in proximity to the hole inside 125 yards. You know, if you're going to hit it 350, but you can't hit a wedge inside 15 feet, what's the point? And he's struggling. The one that surprises me here, Bob, is Jordan at 3 over. I don't know. It just seems that he could not get a handle on the greens, especially in round one. Are you surprised to see him at 3 over? Is that, out of those three names, is that the biggest surprise for you?
Kind of yes and no, I think. You know, I think in some respects, coming off a win in a major just 3 weeks ago and dealing with everything that comes with that may have taken him out of his comfort zone a little bit in terms of preparation. And I think that you notice on the greens, as you mentioned, that just really just out of sync. I mean, speed doesn't look like he's getting his ball started on the right line. Just the frustration, the body language that he has on those greens. And again, you know, never. I think the longest putt he sank in two rounds so far has been 11 feet. So he's not getting those putts like we were talking about with Jason Day and the ones that he's kind of been known for to kind of buoy his round. But I'm also surprised at Rory McIlroy. I thought he'd perform a little bit better here. But, you know, off the tee, his numbers weren't bad, but he always seemed to be on the wrong side of the fairway to attack a pin or in the rough on when you had a go hole, so he couldn't really go at the pin. He always had to kind of leave it out into the safe spot. And just never seems to be firing on all cylinders. Just no mojo, no big mo to carry him forward, which is what you expect when Rory's playing well.
We're going to hear from Graham Dillette later in the show. He did make the cut, a gutsy performance to make the cut. Mac and Adam will not make the cut. A surprise from Adam. He still needs that strong finish to lock in that President's Cup. But huge names not making it through the weekend. Justin Rose, Sergio Garcia, Phil Mickelson. What's the biggest name, in your opinion, or your biggest surprise, Bob, of someone who you thought might contend or at least play well and is going home? For me, with all due respect to Phil, it's got to be between Sergio and Justin. And, you know, Phil has just not had the summer that he wanted. So, you know, sure, certainly some high numbers, but the other two are bigger surprises for me.
Yeah, I mean, as we've talked about with Sergio in the past, you know, I think since the Masters win and the fact that he got married a couple of weeks ago, I think he's kind of just sort of settled in and said, okay, look, I've had a great year already, no matter what I do, and maybe that's kind of what his cause is. But Justin Rose is a guy to me who I kind of looked at him at a number of majors this year to get in and contend. And of course, the one I didn't pick him in was the one he was runner up in the Masters. That always goes to figure, right? I picked him in the other three. I'm not very good at picking pools. And the other name that may be a little under the radar, but who missed the cut, which was or looks like he's going to miss the cut at 5. Now, he might make it right on the number, though. It's touch and go here with the guys finishing this morning, is Adam Scott, who is going back to Australia after this to have the birth of his child. And he won't play the first two FedEx Cup events. And with the points he's got, essentially, his season is now done. So I thought he might be dialed in a little bit more just to try and earn a few points to try to keep the proximity of his or possibility of his season extending alive. But right now, they're sort of on the bubble. We're waiting to see if the fours or the fives are going to make the cut. The fives are in right now, but it could go to six, so we'll see.
Or yeah, that's an interesting one with Adam Scott. Just such an incredible ball striker over the years. The putter never seemed to catch up, but he has putted, you know, better recently, but just can't put it together. And now at 37 years old, you've got to start wondering how much is left in the tank for Adam Scott with the way these 20-somethings are performing. But going to be interesting. We're going to keep talking PGA Championship. Tiger Woods, just a news note here, pleaded not guilty to his DUI charge. It will be sentenced to a diversion program, which is community service, some court fees, and depending on what reports you read, some as well as some other programs to get healthy as well, depending on what reports. But it looks like Tiger has made a plea deal with prosecutors in Florida. So that's good for Tiger. Maybe he can move forward. On the other side, we're going to hear from Kisner, Day, Spieth, more PGA Championship. This is GTC.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Zacchino in studio, Weeks at Quail Hollow, PGA Championship edition of Golf Talk Canada. Leaderboard looks as follows. Kisner, Matsuyama, 8 under par. That's a 2-shot lead over Jason Day and a 3-shot lead over Stroud, Oosthuizen, and Molinari. The Azzurri only 3 back. Maybe Italy gets its first major. I highly doubt it, but you never know. I'd like that. I'd crack open the prosciutto for that one. Bob, Kevin Kisner hitting it very solid. He plays a little bit with a chip on his shoulder. Now, I know there's a difference between playing with the lead at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans versus 36 holes in a major, but he does not strike me as a personality type that's going to flinch in this situation.
No, and it's interesting talking to a few of the other players yesterday about his quality of play, and he is really a guy that they all look to and said, you know, this guy should have been charging in a major before, and they know how good he is, and it's been an interesting sort of comeback for him over the last 4 or 5 years. About 5 or 6 years ago, he was actually hitting it so poorly he thought about quitting golf as a profession. About 4 years ago, he actually didn't play practice rounds with other players. He played by himself because he had a case of the shanks and he was afraid he was going to hit someone. His game has come a long way. He's won in each of the last two seasons. He's made it to the Tour Championship in 2015 and 2016. Looks like he's on his way there again this year. So this guy's a quality player. And you're right, he's a very competitive, very feisty kind of guy. He says, you know, I just like beating people. That's the way I was brought up. And we'll see if he can beat the field here this weekend.
To a much lesser degree, there's a part of his story that reminds me a little bit of Dave Duval in the sense that he had so many second places and so many close calls without getting that win. And then when he finally got that win, it almost feels like he's elevated himself to another level, followed it up with the second win, now in this position. Let's hear from our co-leader, Kevin Kisner.
I'm really, really jacked up about how I'm hitting it. So I'm more excited about that than anything. We'll go out and try to shoot another one tomorrow. It really doesn't matter till the back nine on Sunday anyway. It's pretty reminiscent. A lot of fairways, a lot of greens. What I got to do to play well around here? I need to keep the ball in the short grass, and it's actually, you can't attack it if you're in the fairways.
Well, he's certainly put in the fairways, and he's certainly hitting it great. He's tied with Hideki Matsuyama, who's on fire with the 64, making a lot of putts. However, like you said, yesterday he didn't need to make a lot of long ones. he was one of our favorites coming in. You and I both liked Hideki in our top three or four names coming into this one, so not a surprise. But you and I were both wondering when Jason Day was going to make an appearance this year. He's been lost in the wilderness. Obviously, situation with his mother off the golf course. He was trending in the right direction, Bob, as he head to the U.S. Open. You and I both picked him to have a good U.S. Open, and then he fell off the cliff again. But here he is, two off the lead. Can he keep it together for two more rounds?
I think for sure. I think right now what I'm seeing from him, he looks fit, he looks healthy, he doesn't look like he's in pain. He's smiling, he seems to have a comfort about him, as I was saying earlier. And can he play this way for another 36? Sure, yeah. He's got his putter working again for him. And once that starts to drop, the rest of his game is pretty much intact. So it should be interesting to see what he does today on a soft golf course.
And it's truly one of the nicest guys on the PGA Tour, hands down. He's a huge fan favorite. But let me tell you, the media and the volunteers, everybody loves Jason Day. He is one of the nice guys. Hard not to pull for Jason Day. Let's hear now from Jay Day.
I felt like this is always, it's been slowly building. It was nice to be able to drive the way I did today to set myself up with the opportunities, and being able to capitalize on those opportunities felt even better, because there were the two things that were missing pretty much the whole year, is my driving and my putting, and you know, being able to combine that today just felt like the old days, which is only last year. Yeah, so it just feels like it's been 10 years ago, because I have had a pretty poor year. So I'm very pleased to be where I'm at.
And finally, Jordan Spieth, 3 over par for the tournament, 72-73. The run to the career Grand Slam is on hold for now, or so it seems for sure. Let's hear from Jordan Spieth.
I kind of accept the fact that I'm essentially out of this tournament pending some form of crazy stuff the next couple days. But I'm sure going to, give it a try. But as we came out of the rain delay, it was I'm a little upset at the kind of bailing out I did on a couple of shots, the tee shot on 14, tee shot on 15, tee shot on 18. There's just no reason to bail out on those at this point in the position I was in.
Bob, before we let you go at the end of our national hour, we're going to get your pick and who you like moving forward the rest of the way. And this week on Golf Talk Canada, our one-hour TV wrap-up special, we'll dive further into the schedule changes, but we should touch on that now. It was made official, worst-kept secret in all of golf, the PGA Championship moving to May. Players Championship moving to March. More than likely, the FedEx Cup playoffs is going to be set up in 2019 to end before the NFL season kicks off. We still don't know much about President's Cup and Ryder Cup. I like this. I'm a big fan of all of it. The only negative I see in this potentially is we may lose a couple of venues like Hazleton, Whistling Straits, which I don't know you want to play in the middle of May or anywhere near May. They haven't really come out and formally said that yet. Just some thoughts from you on that, and any negatives from your end that you see.
I think it works. I think it helps the PGA because it's no longer the last of the four. You know, the PGA doesn't really have an identity, and being the last one, I think hurts it. Now being in the middle between the Masters and the U.S. Open, I think that'll leverage it up a little bit. The players moving to March, you know, the reason they moved out of there was because it's always wet and rainy, but they fixed that golf course up now, so it probably won't have as much of an effect as it did before. And yeah, you do lose some good courses, as you mentioned, Hazeltine and Whistling Straits. But you know what? You'll pick up a few, because now you can go to Florida, you can go to Texas. There's some places where you wouldn't want to be in August necessarily, where now you might want to go there. So it looks like a pretty big win-win all around. What I'm really interested to see is what happens next. How do all the other golf tournaments start to shuffle around to kind of make this all happen? And will the RBC Canadian Open be one of the ones that benefits from it?
I'm actually okay with if the RBC remains where it is. It's not the greatest spot in the schedule following the Open Championship, but assuming that FedEx Cup kicks off the time we think it's going to kick off, the RBC Canadian Open may be one of only two or three regular season events left to qualify for the playoffs. So you might see guys making a big push and getting in that Canadian Open because they need the FedEx Cup points to make the playoffs, assuming it stays where it is, Bob. So who knows? It might be some silver lining in this for the Canadian Open. We'll wait and see. I guess a lot more information to shake down. All right, Bob. Winners, Weird and Walk coming up next. I have a very special winner and a very special what for you, okay? This is very personal to me. This winner's weird and what. It's a personal edition for me, so we're going to tease it like that. You will have the tea when we come back. This is the PGA Championship edition of GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. All right, it's that time. Winners, weird, and what? Three dub. Bob Weeks in Quail Hollow has the tee.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
All right, my winner this week. Mark, last week we taped Golf Talk Canada on the golf course at the Toronto Golf Club, which was the host site along with Islington Golf Club for the Canadian Amateur Championship. And my winner is the winner of that tournament, Zach Bauchow from Virginia, who came through and took the Canadian Amateur Championship. He's the 22nd American in the 117 years or something of the Canadian Amateur to win the title. Full value for him. I do want to give a little shout out to Canadian guys. Some of the national team members did really well, especially Hugo Bernard. And also to Jimmy Jones, the son of the late Don Coe Jones, who was playing. He's a very talented golfer, plays at Florida Southern, and he put in a good performance, finishing under par to finish in the top 20. So good for Zach, and good for all the folks who were hosting the Canadian Amateur Championship.
Yeah, that's a great story there, playing at Toronto Golf Club, and what a venue, too. I'm sure the players absolutely loved getting to go around Toronto Golf Club.
Yeah. You're right, exactly. It is a good course. I found out a little earlier this summer my own playing around there, but it took me down for sure. My weird was, wasn't it weird seeing all those golfers running yesterday as they tried to beat the daylight horn that was going to sound when they were going to call play at the end yesterday? A lot of golfers starting to run, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool if they could all play like this all the time? We get our rounds done in like 2.5 hours. Now, I think some players might not make it, like maybe John Daly. I don't think he was running, but all these players running to the tee, and then of course, some guys trying to hit off and keep their balls in play off the tee. That, you know, once they're off on the 18th, depending on where they were finishing, in the entire group was allowed to finish. So you had guys standing up there just rifling shots down the fairway. Those who were out of the competition, just so their players didn't have to come back this morning here in a drizzly morning to hit one or two shots. So that was weird, but all good.
And it seems to be a PGA Championship thing, Bob. Do you remember a few years ago at Valhalla, them racing in the dark on a Sunday night so they didn't have to do the Monday finish? It's always the PGA finishing in darkness somehow.
I know. And, you know, the funny thing, you know, it's always a lot darker than it looks on television. When we're out here yesterday looking at it saying, how can they even see the golf ball? And you look at it on the TV because the iris can open up so much that it gets a lot of light in there. But trust me, it's a lot darker here. And they finished basically in the pitch black here yesterday. And my what is what an interesting playoff they had at the U.S. Women's Amateur yesterday in the quarterfinals. A 13-year-old from Chinese Taipei, her name is Chia Yen Wu. She survived the longest playoff in 18-hole playoff, or sort of playoff of an 18-hole match in the USGA's history. It was 30 holes they had to go before someone finally decided it, and Chia won. She prevailed at, and at 13 years old, she's into the semifinals on this thing. But man, that's a lot of tying of holes after you go through the 18th.
That is absolutely incredible. 30 holes and 13. And I've said it numerous times, especially in the ladies' game. It's happening in the men's game too, but even more so in the ladies' game. The new Legends division is going to start at age 30 soon on the LPGA Tour. It's absolutely crazy. All right, Bob, the tee is mine.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, Bob. my winner this week is me. Now, are you ready for this? Okay.
I don't think I'll ever be ready for
You'll
this.
Never be ready for this. It was my member guest this week, my good friend, Simon Mahoney, who a childhood friend. We grew up together, a group of us. He lives in D.C. and came up for a family holiday and squeezed in our member guests as kind of like the back end of this thing. We're coming down the last hole at the Toronto Hunt. We're two off the pace. The group leading at 5-under is the group ahead of us. And I say to the group ahead of us, Bob, I say, don't make a bogey because I'm eagling the last and we're winning this thing. Well, what happens? They make a bogey. I hit my drive about 3 bills down the middle. I have 87 yards left to the hole for my second shot. And I dunk it for a 2.
And you called it.
I called it. My good friend Mike McLaughlin was in that group in front of me, and I don't think he'll ever talk to me again. And let's just say the booze was flowing after I called the 2.
Oh, boy. I hope you pointed like Babe Ruth.
It was absolutely unreal. And, you know, I may never play the game again. That might be the highlight of my. If I ever touch a golf club again, it's only going to ruin it. But my weird this week are all these big names going home at the PGA Championship. You know, this is I know it's a new golf course. I know the greens are firm and whatnot, but it seems to be a fairly straightforward in front of you golf course. It's a big ballpark. There is some room, you know, off the tee. I know the rough is Bermuda, and that can play a little bit of trickery, but it's not like, you know, a traditional U.S. Open rough that's absolutely brutal or penal. There's nothing here that would suggest that the best players in the world or quite a few of them are going to struggle to make the cut and some not be there at all, and that's what we're seeing, and it's just bizarre to me. This to me, was such a fair setup and a good venue, and I'm just shocked that a player like Phil Mickelson, who's had such a great career at Quail Hollow, has had this performance and is going home. All right,
yeah, stuck in this cut too.
Another one, yeah.
Rowan Majors.
And now he's looking at the President's Cup, and I'm going, you know, Phil has not shown us anything that would put him. Maybe it's time for that President's Cup to inject some youth into that team. I don't know. That's a conversation for you and I in another day. Maybe we'll tackle that this week on television. But my what this week? Now, as you know, Bob, we talk golf for a living. But my passion is professional wrestling, much like Scotty Mack.
Oh, my God.
Okay, you know Scotty Mack here at TSN 1050, who's hosting the Drive Home show this week, but usually doing the Scott MacArthur show, knows his baseball in and out, real passion life, professional wrestling. Sean Levine, Uncle Shawnee, who works behind the glass here as one of the producers and helping with the program, directing here at the station. Big wrestling fan. I can go on and on. But very rarely does your passion in life collide with your job. And here is the TNT promo, Bob, that ran this week on TNT in the U.S. to promote the PGA Championship in Charlotte, North Carolina.
To be the man, you got to beat the man, baby. You know who said that? Me, Nature Boy. Woo! You need a certain swagger to be the man. A style and profile that's only visible when you're the best at what you do.
I'm the man.
There can only be one.
Y-E. Oh, he's running after. Ran after. Unbelievable. There's your champion. Just watch and enjoy.
Woo!
Well, that's all I got to say about that, Bob, is woo!
Wow. Unbelievable.
And that goes on for another 2 minutes, Bob. Okay? I don't know if you saw it down there at all. It's unbelievable.
No.
Of course, Ric Flair is Charlotte's favorite son. So there you go. Absolutely hilarious. The Nature Boy, the hype man for the PGA Championship. Who would ever saw that coming over the years? As a, you know,
not me.
Yeah. So now apparently it goes Jim Nantz, Vern Lundquist, Ric Flair now. when we're talking about, you know, media coverage of the PGA Championship. So, okay, let's end that on the Nature Boy. Let's go out on the 16-time world champ. We're going to come back. We'll get, we're going to hear from Bob and Graham Dillette, and we're going to get Bob's pick moving forward here, who he thinks is going to hoist the trophy come Sunday night. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Mark Zucchino in studio, Bob Weeks at Quail Hollow. Chris Stroud finishing up his second round. He's birdied his second last hole of the day. He has one left to go. He has got it to 6-under along with Jason Day. So if he can hold the fort at 6, he will be in the penultimate group today on Saturday alongside Jason Day. Two off the pace. Graham Dillette was the lone Canadian to make the cut this week. Gutsy performance from a guy who could barely do any prep coming into this one. Some back issues, always the back of concern with Graham. Let's hear from Graham Dillette.
All right, Graham Dillette, we weren't sure you were going to get up off the mat and come out this morning, and it looked a little tentative in the first early going, but you held it together. Pretty fine performance out there, all things considered.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with it. I mean, in all honesty, I had no idea where the ball was going, especially off the tee. It was hard, to get a tee shot in the fairway, and when I did, I kind of felt like it was sort of lucky. And then, you know, distance control with my irons, because I just couldn't swing full. I just didn't really know how far the ball was going to go. So it was a tough day, but, you know, I was able to make, you know, three birdies coming in, which was really nice, and put myself back in a decent position. I got probably 24 hours before I tee off again, so hopefully I can try to heal up a bit.
Give me an indication of what you went through this morning before you teed off. We're in the fitness trailer and with all the doctors and everything that you had to do.
Yeah, I was here just after 5, and we did about 30 minutes of table work. I've been on the table for about 6 hours here already this week, I think. So Doc Davies has been awesome. Had a quick little breakfast, into the gym to do, you know, I normally do a warm-up, but it was, you know, it was a little bit different because there was a lot of stuff that I couldn't do and wasn't comfortable with. And well, actually, when I got to the range, I was feeling okay. And then as I started hitting balls, it just started really tightening up, and I just kind of felt like an old man bending down to pick up my ball out of the hole and tee up my ball. But I'm happy with how it all turned out today, because, you know, walking to the first tee, I didn't know how, you know, I was 3 off the lead, and I didn't even know how I was going to possibly even try to make the cut, so it was good.
Graham Dillette makes the cut. Gutsy performance, Bob, from Graham. It was doubtful that he could even play.
I mean, he made two birdies to start this tournament, went birdie-birdie to open, and then on the third tee, almost pulled out because his back was so bad, he tweaked it. But, you know, this is the story of Graham Dillette for most of his career. He's just had this back ailment. He knows how far he can push it. He knows how he can deal with it. He pulled out last week because he wanted to have a chance at playing this week. And I think the fact that he's up here, that he's playing, even gutting it out, and as you heard in that clip, not really knowing how far he's going to hit some of the shots, is an indication of how important he feels that this tournament is to him. He hasn't been in a major for 2 years, so this is a return to that. And I think he's had a pretty decent year, all things considered. And this tournament, to me, is a pretty impressive performance when you consider what he's going through.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you're right. It's unfortunate. This has been a theme throughout his career. And hopefully he can finish this season off healthy and make a good push here near the end. Okay. Take a look at this leaderboard, Bob. Crystal ball. As you and I broke this down this week, I love Jordan Spieth, Hideki Matsuyama, and Charlie Hoffman. Those were my guys. Hoffman as my dark horse coming in this week. I obviously missed the boat with Spieth. Charlie Hoffman, 75-71. He makes the cut at 4 over, but not a part of this golf tournament. But Hideki was the other name on the board. I see no reason for me to leave that now. I think Hideki is, alongside with Ricky Fowler, probably the best player in the world at the moment without a major. And maybe Hideki doesn't get enough credit. Maybe he is the guy with those World Golf Championship victories. He's still so young, and you know, he doesn't speak English. And maybe if he was an American, he'd be getting way more hype than he does on this side of the pond. Is this Hideki's time? Does he hold on, or do you like someone else? And how far down this leaderboard do you go right now?
I think, Mark, right now Hideki Matsuyama is not only the best player in the world without a major, I think he might be the best player in the world. If you look at his recent form, if you look at even the last 12 months, what he's put together, it's pretty remarkable. And I think it's just almost sort of like this trying to hold the dike back here. I think he's just going to bust through and win a major. And I think it's going to be this week if he keeps hitting the ball close like he has done. I still think that Jason Day will have a say in the matter before things are done. And if you go down the list a little bit, I mean, with this soft golf course now, you know, there's a chance that some guys can kind of rip it up a little bit, put some low numbers up there. So the two names that stand out for me are Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas. Ricky Fowler's won here at Quail Hollow before, and Justin Thomas, as we've seen, has the ability to go low with a long bomb off the tee. So those two names may be catching up with the leaders before the end of today, but to me, it's Hideki's tournament to lose right now.
Yeah, I agree with you 1,000%. We only have a few minutes left, Bob, in today's show. Before we let you go, after the opening round, guys were talking like single digits could win this golf tournament, something around 7-8 under par. Obviously, the moisture has changed this slightly. For me, I still think it's going to get a little tougher as we head to the weekend. I don't think there's going to be many 64s out there. I think you'll see 66s, 67s, etc., but 64s on the weekend, a major championship. I'm thinking maybe 14 under, 15 under max, but even 14 under probably has a chance to win this golf tournament. What number would you take right now and put your feet up for the next 36?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, they've still got the sub-air system, so they can suck a lot of the moisture out of these greens. And there are enough slopes on these places that if they want to put the pins in some nasty spots to protect the golf course, they can do that. So I think you're right. I think 14, maybe 15 would be a good number to look at and sit around on and wait for the guys to try and catch that on Sunday.
Bob, thanks for taking the time. Stay dry, stay safe, enjoy the last 36. I will see you this week for our one-hour PGA wrap-up special, so safe travels, my friend.
Okay, and don't bask too long in that member guest championship.
Oh, no. This is it. I'm retiring, Bob. It's over for me. Okay. I'm retiring. Bob Weeks from Quail Hollow. There he goes. And you can catch Bob on SportsCenter. Of course, follow him, tsn.ca, for all his coverage of the PGA Championship this weekend. TSN Radio and TV is your home for the PGA Championship's final 36, like all major championship golf. 20 weeks of TaylorMade. There's only 2 weeks left. So if you're not participating, what are you doing? It is free. You have many chances to win. Of course, the grand prize at the end of the 20 weeks is a custom set of TaylorMade golf clubs. The full deal, the full package, the Dustin Johnson experience, the Jason Day experience. You go in, you get the tour van experience, top to bottom, full custom-made set, and then you and three friends, VIP trip to Prince Edward Island. Pretty good. And all you got to do is follow us, engage with us on social media. So you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada. Download our podcast from iTunes. Like us on Facebook and join our Facebook group. You do all five things. You have five chances to win each week. And you are entered in that grand prize finale. What are you waiting for? And then also show us your stripes is continuing as well throughout the summer. Send us a pic on Instagram or Twitter with the hashtag show us your stripes. Are you decked out in your favorite gear or just your favorite Adidas gear? Show us your brand loyalty to the three stripes. You have a chance to win a great pair of Adidas footwear at the end of each month and the end of the year. A full Adidas wardrobe from Adidas Golf. Leaderboard looks like this. Kevin Kisner, 8 under par. Hideki Matsuyama at 8 under par. That will be your final group heading into moving day at Quail Hollow. The penultimate group likely will look like Jason Day, already in the house at 6 under par. But Chris Stroud also at 6 under now, finishing up his second round. If he can hold the fort, he'll play alongside Jason Day, who is looking for his second major and second PGA championship. Let's not forget, we're only a couple years removed from that dominant dominant performance at Whistling Straits. The Azzurri, Francesco Molinari, breaking out the limoncello at 5 under par. He's alongside Louis Oosthuizen right now, and that would be your third group off. Coming up next, 30 more minutes of GTC. Executive Director of Golf Ontario, Mike Kelly, is popping by. We got Scully time. We'll get Scully's thoughts on the PGA Championship. Lots to get to. Thank you so much for listening to our national audience. Remember, first good decision on the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, the bonus 30 if you're listening in Toronto on 1050, Hamilton 1150, a few other select markets, as well as the iHeartRadio app and online at tsn.ca. 30 more minutes of Golf Talk Canada on PGA Championship moving day here on the Saturday of the year's final major. We're going to switch gears a little bit now because yours truly, very happy and excited to be part of a great event to support youth golf initiatives by Golf Ontario. Golf Ontario leading the way, really, in my opinion, as a governing body that is really helping put clubs in kids' hands and get golf in front of young people and growing the game. And the man behind that, Executive Director Mike Kelly, joining me now. Michael, now, what part of Ontario? Are you up north? Because I always bump into you up north. Apparently, you and I like to hang out at the LCBO in Cottage Country together.
Yeah, well, I'll be headed up that way very soon. But it's exciting weekend with the PGA Championship on, so what's better than a little major championship golf in Muskoka?
That's a great way to spend a Saturday in Ontario in the summer. Now, the Toronto Golf Gala is coming up. TheGolfGala.ca is the website, TheGolfGala.ca if you want some more info. We're raising money for youth initiative programs that include Future Links, includes putting golf in schools, scholarship programs. I will be hosting. It's at the Toronto Hunt. Give us some of the sizzle here, because there's some VIP opportunities as well to play some great golf. There's some great food. There's entertainment. This sounds like a really fun event.
Yeah, it's a great event. And, you know, you touched on it off the top, Mark, and that's, you know, we have, you know, 100,000 members and 465 member clubs. And you know that we deliver some of the best championships, and we administer handicapping and course rating, and as well as development programs for all golfers in communities. And what we're excited about is this event, you know, furthers that commitment to developing the sport, you know, specifically for youth across Ontario. And, you know, the Toronto Golf Gala is going to be hosted at a very special place. You remember there, and the Toronto Hunt Club on September 14th is going to give us the opportunity to raise funds to really support, you know, at-risk youth in different parts of communities and in the greater Toronto area. And you know, life skills and value is such a key component to the sport of golf. And we're really excited to further that. And one of the biggest, pieces to this year's gala, the first annual actually, is our VIP experience at a place that I don't think you're even familiar with, Mark, Goodwood Golf Club. And we're going to be offering really a select few, players and groups to come enjoy that golf club actually very close to our office on September 25th, where we'll include lunch and snacks, refreshments, as well as a nice branded gift from Goodwood Golf Club. And then it also includes your gala ticket and dinner entertainment that night. But that VIP experience is something very special. You know, I reserve the word special for a few select places in Ontario. Goodwood and Toronto Golf, Toronto Hunt are both two that would fit into that.
Yeah, my good friend Howard Atkinson, who is the chair for the event, has yet to bring me up there, and I remind him of this every time I see him as well, Mike. So I'll be drilling that home. But yes, Goodwood, that date is September the 25th, as you mentioned. That's the VIP package that includes the golf at Goodwood. The gala itself with the entertainment, I'll be emceeing. There'll be comedians involved. There will be music celebrities involved. Great prizes as well in auctions in terms of silent and live auction. I got to give a shout out to the London Bespoke Club because I was there for a fitting last week, and the jacket and the outfit that they are putting together for yours truly is absolutely smoking. Mike, this thing is homicide. It is so cool. They let me pick whatever I wanted. I said, I want a fun party jacket because this is going to be a fun night. This is going to be about entertainment, supporting a great cause, some laughs, a good time, good food, good wine. And I said, I want a jacket like that. This is a beautiful outfit. And you want to talk about custom. Like, I have never been through a custom experience like this before. I mean, like, this is not give me your waist and your inseam. I mean, like, they're doing, like, the cuff of my shirt on my left sleeve to be able to clear the watch I wear. Like, it, this is about as personalized, custom fit clothing experience you could ever have at the London Bespoke Club. And you'll be able to actually bid on the same experience I went through. So that is just one of the great prizes or great auction items that you can come out and bid on. I can't wait to see what you guys have put together with all your golf connections.
Yeah, no, we have a number of experiences like you just described, you know, trips to the Caribbean and really some really special and unique opportunities that will help, you know, generate some funds to help support the programs, you know, such as golf in schools. You know, it's really about using golf here as the vehicle to help build better communities. And, you know, what a great night. And we really appreciate your participation. And as you said, you know, one of our actual board members and member of the club and at Goodwood is Howard Atkinson, and you know, he's been an outstanding chair for us. So it's gonna be a wonderful evening, and we truly appreciate the support of both yourself and the listeners here.
Well, if you're interested, you can buy single tickets, group rates, VIP package. The gala's on the 14th of September. The VIP golf at Goodwood's on September 25th. If you want to support a great cause and help kids just grow up to be great adults and introduce them to the game of golf, go to thegolfgala.ca, thegolfgala.ca. I'll be your MC on September 14th. There's a lot of celebrities in terms of music and entertainment industry that's going to be there. Great food, great wine, great cause, great auction items. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time. Always a friend of the show. You're always welcomed. And if you peg it up this weekend, keep it in the fairway. And before I let you go, who's winning the PGA Championship?
Gonna go with Ricky Fowler.
Oh, from behind, taking the monkey off the back.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
Well, that would be a great few hours of television late on a Sunday afternoon. That would make for some good couch time, so I'd be okay with that. Mike, have a safe and great long weekend, weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.
Mike Kelly, Executive Director of Golf Ontario, and he, along with the Golf Ontario Group, putting together the Golf Gala, the golfgala.ca to support youth initiatives in the province of Ontario. It's pretty lucky. I would host this and support this regardless of where it was. The fact that it happens to be at my own club makes it really fun and easy to support as well. And, you know, now, Skull, that I've been immortalized with the shot on 18 from earlier this week, this is, you know, maybe I can, you know, everybody who gets a ticket, I can walk them through the shot. We'll walk out in the dark and we can recreate the Eagle 2 to win the member guest. I might not stop talking about this the rest of the year, so we're going to lose listenership at some point if I just keep grinding out this Eagle. So now, speaking of Scully on the other side of the glass, he's going to leave that side of the glass and come to this side of the glass coming up next. We're going to get Scully's thoughts on this PGA Championship with 36 holes left. Does he like maybe a Fowler charge, or is he with Weeksy and I that Hideki's going to take that major and move one step closer to where he should be, which is in that elite conversation with the best players on the planet? This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Zucchino in studio. Mr. Weeks is down at Quail Hollow and was with us for our first national hour. Now in studio with me, it's Scully time, Mr. Adam Scully.
Woo!
We're going to get some Scully thoughts here on the PGA Championship. Before we do, ATB Financial Classic, Mackenzie Tour, PGA Tour Canada, Chase Wright with a one-shot lead over Todd Bayek. That's happening, where are they? They're in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. On the GTA AM Tour, I want to give a shout-out to Ryan Taylor, who won the championship flight earlier this week at the Sundog Open at Windance Golf Club. And also at the David Hearn Junior Open on the CGGA Tour, we want to give a shout-out to Parker Layton from Saskatoon, who won the boys' bantam division. Scully, they are going to actually now play in threesomes this afternoon. A little catch-up, considering they were finishing the second round of the PGA Championship. So our final group, off the first tee, Kevin Kisner, Hideki Matsuyama, and Jason Day. Thoughts on the tournament so far? And are you with Team Week Zucchino that this is Matsuyama's to win or lose?
Yeah, I think I'm on your team there for sure. It was just crazy how different the golf course was before and after the rain delay yesterday. Guys throwing darts at pins, you know, guys holding greens, guys actually making putts that were downhill because the greens were just that much softer. It's really going to be interesting to see how, if, you know, Jason Day's had that up and down year, if he can keep that momentum going, because we know when he was at the best, at the peak of his game, when he was top the world's number one player, we know how good he can be. So if he can keep that momentum, but as we said earlier, Hideki Matsuyama, he's a man on a mission right now. And if he's on his game, he is, as Bob said, he's probably the best player in the world right now. Just the way he's playing, he's tough to beat.
If Hideki Matsuyama's name was Bob Smith and he was from Chicago, Illinois,
he'd be so famous.
He'd be on the front of every magazine that is golf-related on this side of the pond. Listen to his last 12 months. It's absolutely ridiculous. If we go back to, let's start in October of last year, really where the wraparound season starts for the PGA Tour. So let's go back to October. He wins the Japan Open on the Australasian Tour. He then wins the World Golf Championships HSBC Champions. He then wins the Tahio Masters. Then he wins the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. So in the last 2 months, really, of the 2016 calendar, he wins four events worldwide. Opens up the 2017 calendar season with the Waste Management Phoenix Open. He adds the Bridgestone Invitational just a week ago. He is just on an absolute run. And again, if he's got three official PGA Tour events this year, but many more worldwide. 14 professional wins at the age of 25, number three in the world. Not getting the credit that he deserves. If he wins this, though, that will all change, won't it, Skull?
Absolutely. And one thing that was always maybe his Achilles heel was his putter. And he switched to a TaylorMade putter.
We saw that. Yeah. I know.
And he's been making a lot of putts, or he's been making more putts from, you know, inside from, say, 12 to, you know, 6 to 12 feet.
Those are the ones you got to make, though.
And because, as we see with him, like when he throws darts, he has the one hand off the club. It looks like he hates it, and it's to 6 feet. He's sort of thinking, what are you thinking here, Hecky? But he's hitting it, you know, these putts are going in the hole from him finally. Which is, it's a scary thought for the rest of the world.
With the exception of Jordan Spieth, who, when he wins, like we saw a few weeks ago, you just kind of roll him in from 50 feet in the middle. Like, that's it. That's what he does. It's ridiculous. It's bizarre. It's a different way of winning on the PGA Tour. With the exception of Jordan Spieth, when these guys win, their stats from that 5 foot to 20 foot range are usually, when they're putting well and making those putts in that range, the 5 to 20, you know, those 12-footers for birdie, the 16-footers for birdie, the par saves from 10, that's when they have a chance to win. Mm-hmm. Bob said yesterday the longest putt he made for birdie was 11 feet, so obviously striking it well. But if you're striking it well and you're not converting, it means nothing. Strokes gained putting 4.569 on the field. He's 4.5 shots better than the field through two rounds with his putter.
Now imagine, so to compare that, imagine if Brooks Koepka had Matsuyama's putting stroke this week. Because on the first day, Brooks Koepka could have easily been 5 or 6 under. He just didn't make any putts. Or Rory McIlroy. He's just not putting it in the right spot. Hideki Matsuyama is co-leading this tournament because of A, his ball striking, and B, the putts are finally going in the hole for him.
Well, I always say that, you know, and this is coming from a guy who is very hot and cold with his putter, that I always...
But who needs their putter when they hold out from 87 yards?
Well, when you're calling the 87-yard Eagles, you don't really need to putt much in this game.
You know, you are basically, you're like Mark Messier in the 1994 conference final. The guarantee, I will make this shot. I will deuce this from 87 yards, and you did.
I did. It's unbelievable. Yeah. You know, well, if you want to hire me to come out to your club,
yeah,
and recreate the shot, I will do that.
And guarantee anything.
And throw guarantees out there. Yeah. We guarantee anything.
So on that thought, do you have a guarantee for this weekend?
Hideki's going to win. Yeah. It's guaranteed.
Lock it down.
I'm happy the course has softened, Skull.
Yeah, absolutely.
To me, round one was not necessarily an entertaining round. I don't want to see guys lagging it from 15 feet, you know, with their fingers crossed.
Yeah.
It's weird, especially at a PGA Championship. I think we're in for an exciting weekend with some good stories with Hideki, Jason Day, maybe a charge from Fowler or Thomas. Kevin Kisner, with all due respect, that is still a story. You know, he's a bulldog. Mm-hmm. We got the Azzurri in there. That would be fun, you know. But I think it's a better championship and a better viewing experience for a golf fan if these guys can make some birdies and there's some volatility in the leaderboard. On Monday, there was volatility only in one direction. Mm-hmm. You could hold on for dear life or you could go south. Yeah. Now we can have some problems. There's some tough holes out there.
Right.
And you can go the wrong way, but you can also get on some runs like Hideki showed yesterday. And I think that makes for better TV.
Absolutely. And a lot of the guys were saying after their rounds on Thursday and early into Friday, they're playing so much defense on the golf course. For me in particular, that fourth hole, that par three.
Yes.
Where guys would land at 2 feet by the hole and it would bounce off the green. That's just unfair. That's just too much. I think they were drawing on the edge of sort of before the rain sort of came in and started to wetten things up a little bit. It's fun watching these guys make putts from 20 feet. It's fun watching guys hit driver three wood to 15 feet. It's fun watching them make putts. And that's the entertainment value that we both enjoy, and hopefully we'll see that the rest of the weekend. As long as the rain doesn't
ruin this. Yeah. And this golf course is always a great golf course, even before the changes. The players love it. Mm-hmm. It will get better now as we go along, because even with the sub-air system and the moisture and trying to work on this perfect potion and recipe to get the greens right, you got to remember, we are still dealing with a brand new set of greens here.
Yeah.
And when you do new greens, when you resurface your greens and regrade some of them and build some of them brand new from scratch with some of these new holes, they don't necessarily hold always the way you want. And when you think you got them right, sometimes they're not.
Definitely.
So maybe they need another 12 months sitting in the ground before they have them the way they want, regardless of that spectacular venue. Okay, so Bob and I like 14 under, 15 at most, but I think, 14 still has an honest chance to win this golf tournament. So that being said, what number do you like? Do you like it lower or higher than that? And how far down the leaderboard do you go? Which is always a strange question on a Saturday, because a lot depends on what Hideki and Kisner do. Like, if Hideki goes out, he's coming off a 64. If Hideki goes out and throws a 66 on the board today, that's going to take out a lot of guys in this golf tournament.
Yeah, well, we had a very similar conversation the Saturday of the Open Championship, and thinking how far down can you go? And Brendan Gray shoots 62 and vaults himself up the leaderboard. So looking at the leaderboard now, you got to see, Paul Casey's at 3 under. He's a guy I'm looking at. I'd say any guy in red numbers is still sort of in it.
Really?
But as long as, it's all up to Matsuyama and Kisner. If one of them falters, then, it brings a lot more guys into it. But, Jordan Spieth basically wrote himself off, which is pretty much fair. And with that attitude, you're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
But look at guys like Koepka can go on a birdie barrage if he plays. Maybe one under is maybe a little too low. I'm going to presume here that Fowler and Thomas are going to be a part of a threesome on the golf course together. If they can feed off each other and get that SB 2K17 Mojo together.
You know, that's an undervalued. It's not a stat because you know, you can't mathematically look at it. I guess if you broke it down and took your time to see what their numbers were when they were paired together, stuff like that, you could. But generally speaking, it's not a stat or formula we talk about. But chemistry in a grouping can mean a lot. And when you put buddies together like Fowler and Thomas, if they get off to an early start and they are playing together today, they can, you know, ramp up. By the way, this leaderboard looks, it appears like they will be paired in a threesome down this leaderboard. I'm going to not go below three.
Yeah.
I just go three for me is a limit because, you know, if Hideki and or Kisner, you know, I expect Hideki to shoot better than 69, but let's just say they shoot 69 and this leads at 10 or even at 11. A 64 now, all of a sudden, from Thomas or Fowler will put them like right at the lead or one off the lead. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anything better than a 64 out there, even with the soft conditions. And I'd be surprised that now that we're into the weekend that there's even a 64. Maybe a 66. But 66 then will move Fowler or Thomas to 8 under par. Mm-hmm. So if you're 2 or 3 off that lead heading into the final round, I think you're very much a part of the golf
tour. You've got a chance. And one thing I'll be looking for, Fowler and Jordan Spieth were paired together in the final round of the Masters. And they both weren't very good,
yes.
And they're two buddies,
right? Obviously, which really didn't make sense.
Exactly. So we'll see if Fowler, you know, can maybe forget about that, if you will. But if he's going to have the comfortable pairing, obviously the guys know each other well. And Justin Thomas was 66 yesterday. He worked on his driving and his long iron play after his round on Thursday, and clearly it paid off.
See, for me, Fowler's the guy, and with all due respect to Thomas, like you said, he made that 66 yesterday. That could be his low round of the week.
Yeah.
Fowler's made a lot of birdies, but all he's been able to scrape out is a 69 and a 70. I think Fowler's best round is potentially still in him, and that might come today.
Well, and even he shot 69 in the opening round with a triple bogey.
That's what I'm saying. He's not getting anything out of his ball striking
at the moment.
Maybe
today.
So give me a winner and a number. I'm going to take Hideki Matsuyama wins this golf tournament, and I'm going to say he wins it at 14 under par.
Just to be different, because I want to be different, I'm going to go Jason Day at 13 under par.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And I'm okay with it. Listen, I would love to see Hideki win because I think he deserves the credit. I think it would be huge for golf in Japan.
Absolutely.
Obviously,
massive.
He's already a huge star in that part of the world, and he would just elevate himself to a whole new level. But Jason Day is one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
You know, I've had the opportunity to get to know Jason a little bit over the last couple of years. I've called his rounds many times and interviewed him many times. And he's got that Arnold Palmer quality in the sense that he makes everybody he engages with feel like he's your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes by it honestly. He's had a rough year with his mom.
Yeah.
And nothing, I think, would make anybody happier to see Jason Day save his season and grab his second major. He's such a good human being.
And it's great to see him, you know, rolling the ball better. He's got that white TaylorMade spider on the greens now, the new one, and he's rolling it very nicely. So.
And Nick Orbitz from TaylorMade, I talked to Nick today. He says, oh, great, now we got to go paint a bunch of these things white. So there we go. Nick, I'm sorry, man. That's how it
goes.
Get
ready, Nick.
When you got the hottest putter in the game and then someone decides to paint it white and maybe win a major with it, that's how it goes. There's worse problems. Scully, thanks, man.
Thank you.
1 hour.
Can't
wait. TV special this week.
Tons
our 1 hour wrap up. We could probably do three on this by the time we get to Tuesday. So looking forward to that. And play well if you play golf this weekend. And enjoy your couch time.
You know, I will. And again, congrats on your eagle and your victory.
You know, it's just the shot heard round Scarborough. The shot heard around Scarborough. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, 20 weeks of TaylorMade continuing. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada. Download our podcast. Like us on Facebook. Join our Facebook group. 5 times the chance to win. Custom set of clubs and a VIP trip to PEI is the grand finale at the end of the season. Remember, first good decision on the golf course always starts in the closet. Thank you for listening.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca.